every ministry is different. And so even when we partner with other churches, we discuss, you know, what the dynamics are for our ministry compared to others. So you can take those nuggets and apply. But the overall goal is to reduce risk, protect family and children, and to prevent violence from happening. So whatever that's going on in your ministry, you want to take it from A to Z.
Right.
From the looking at your campus to see what are risk opportunities on your parking lot, all the way through who has access to your building, how do you prevent people from, do you have cameras, all of these things that are part of your plan to make sure that if everything goes bad, how can you prevent it? Yeah.
Hostility and violence against churches in America is at an all-time high. There are numerous threats, including active shooters, to disrupt the peace and sanctity of your place of worship. We need to be wise and be prepared, and that's why we are encouraging you to attend the Protecting the Flock Church Safety and Security Seminar, all taking place at Brown Baptist Church, 7200 Sweeney Road in South Haven, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. And we've got all the details with our guest today, Eric Williams and Derek Anderson. Derek, of course, is the associate pastor at Brown Baptist, serves with the wonderful Dr. Bartholomew Orr, who is the senior pastor and longtime friends. He and I traveled to Israel together in 2018. I always love fellowshipping with Pastor Orr and really the folks at Brown. If you've never been to a service at Brown, you might not have been to church yet. Just how they make you feel so welcomed. It's just a wonderful place to go. But thank you, friend, for stopping by. We're going to talk about something, sadly, gentlemen, that we've got to talk about: safety, security at our churches. As I mentioned, we need to be prepared and be wise. And that's really why you guys are putting on this conference. Now, I will say this, Derek, in addition to your responsibilities at Brown Baptist, you are also a reserve deputy sheriff for Shelby County Sheriff's Department. We're grateful for your service there. You'll be able to provide some input. Of course, Eric himself, maybe we should start there, Eric. Give us some of your background and experience into the issue of church security.
Okay. So, Eric Williams, been with Brown now, seems like forever. My background is corporate security and executive protection. I served alongside of several CEOs for some major corporations, to where when they traveled to stores, I was their guy to watch their back. And just bringing that corporate mindset of executive protection into the house of worship. So I have now served as the chief operating officer at Brown since August of 2020, alongside of Pastor Anderson here.
And Pastor Anderson, how many years now have you been associated with Brown?
Oh my goodness. Over 20 years now on staff. And so it feels like it's been forever as well, but it's been a great journey.
Yeah. You guys have a very strategic ministry, not only to the South Haven community, DeSoto County, even here in Memphis.
Right.
According to a recent Family Research Council report, they documented more than 430 incidents in 2023, more than double the number in 2022. Now, that's an 800% increase in incidents since 2018, an average of 39 attacks every month. Now, America's churches aren't just witnessing hostility and violence at a higher rate than ever before. The report suggests the attacks are increasingly more violent and more personal. Guys, where are we at? What's going on?
You know, I think the those numbers are staggering. And the unique part about it, that's not everything. You know, that's only what has been reported. And a lot of times we've learned that a lot of ministries don't even report incidents that take place. But it is heartbreaking to hear the amount of incidents every week that are happening in religious institutions, churches all across America.
And we're not just talking about gun violence. Some of this is property destruction, damage, right?
Yeah.
Theft.
Theft of property, yeah. Breaking in cars. You know, I think the thing is, if people knew what all happened behind the scenes, they probably would be scared to come to church. So if you think about, if everything got reported, you know, whether it was someone touching a child or someone stealing somebody's purse when they got up for prayer or someone's car gotten broken into, you'd be less likely to go to church. And that's what a lot of churches choose not to report, some of those things.
Yeah. We're not here to discourage people from fellowshipping. We're not to forsake the assembling of believers. Yeah. But I think we're to be smart. We're to be wise. And so that's really the reason why you guys have put together the Protecting the Flock Church Safety and Security Seminar at Brown. Maybe share with us a minute here, Derek, what led up to this?
True to the point of everything you just said, the reality is, with everything that's going on, this conference is really to prevent people from being afraid to come to church, but us to really arm pastors, church leaders, ministry workers, nonprofits on how to harden your base to make sure that you're safe. And so this conference is really really about giving that information that a lot of times is not known, because church is a unique atmosphere. You want it to be safe, but you don't want people to feel like they're going through Fort Knox to enter it, right?
Well,
and so you want it to be strategic about your planning. And so these individuals that are coming to provide information are experts in the field, those that have also experienced church violence as well. You know, we have the guest from Sutherland Springs Church that's going to be there. And we all are very familiar with what happened in that area in Texas where multiple people were shot at a church. And what a great time to hear from someone who walked through that to help prepare other churches on how to be prepared for that.
Can you actually have a plan of safety for a place of worship that's effective while allowing people the expression of worship and wondering, wow, there's a guy with a gun over there?
You have to, but it's all about training. So Pastor Anson and I shared about Sunday just in Pennsylvania to where the deacon saved that pastor. So it's all about having the tools and techniques as to what don't look right and to prevent it from going any further. So, yeah, so absolutely, you have to have a plan.
Well, in a recent survey by Lifeway Research, 62% of pastors say they have an intentional plan for active shooters. Creating a safety plan is an ideal place to start because it's a cost-free way to honestly discuss and assess the safety concerns of our religious community. Would you guys agree with that?
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah, and in large part of that, you know, active shooter is a big thing, but as we're saying, it's not just the active shooter. You have mental illness where people, like the individual that he mentioned about Sunday, the guy stated that he was hearing voices, and the voice told him to come to the church and shoot the pastor. And so, and you have, like, you want to protect your children, you want to protect the risk and liability. And so all of these things make up a holistic safety plan.
You know, I remember an incident that took place back many years ago at Bellevue Baptist Church downtown Memphis with the late Dr. Adrian Rogers was pastor.
Right.
It was his first Sunday back after being elected the president of the Southern Baptist Convention for the very first time. And the service was just going on wonderful. Dr. Rogers get up to the pulpit to preach. And then all of a sudden, the side doors opened up and this man came running just full force up the steps, kicked the flowers into the choir and ran toward Dr. Rogers. Well, one of our members in the choir was a Golden Glove boxer, you know, and he went to get him. Well, this guy smacked him and there was blood going everywhere.
Right.
And it got to be really crazy there for a few seconds. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, Adrian Rogers said, "Let me pray over him." And they kind of subdued him. He laid hands on him, prayed for him, and they escorted him out. And come to find out, this guy had been on a drug trip.
Mm-hmm.
He heard voices that told him to go disrupt the service.
And, you know, if you think about it, churches generally are probably one of the most attended places on Sundays, you know. And so you think about, for someone that is targeting to do something, it may not be a connection, but they know it is a place where people are normally vulnerable. Your guard is down because you're in a mode of worship. You're thinking about, you know, your relationship with God. And so that's why we need team members and leaders to be able to prepare and look out how to look for danger coming your way so you can be prepared for it.
What does a church security plan look like, or what needs to be in a church security plan?
Well, you know, it's a holistic approach. And so you want to involve leaders. You want to involve your staff. And also, and basically, it covers what to do in emergencies, how to prevent emergencies, and really understanding the culture of your church. Every ministry is different. And so even when we partner with other churches, we discuss what the dynamics are for our ministry compared to others. So you can take those nuggets and apply. But the overall goal is to reduce risk, protect family and children, and to prevent violence from happening. And so whatever that's going on in your ministry, you want to take it from A to Z. Looking at your campus to see what are risk opportunities on your parking lot, all the way through, who has access to your building, how do you prevent people from, do you have cameras, all of these things that are part of your plan to make sure that if everything goes bad, how can you prevent it?
Yes. Would the plan also, Eric, include medical emergencies?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. In reality, that's a lot of what we deal with at Brown is medical emergencies. So, yes, you have to have those things in writing. Because Lord forbid if something does happen that you don't have it in writing. So, yes, medical plan is a big thing that we talk about. So at our church, we have a medical team that's part of our security ministry. So, and they respond accordingly to those medical emergencies.
Now, does it require also hiring an armed guard service to be at my church every Sunday during worship?
I think the dynamics are different for each ministry. And so, you know, you can train your internal team, you can contract vendors, and that's what some of the things we discuss, how to evaluate what's best for your ministry. And if it is contracting, how then do you evaluate the contract entity to make sure that their policies and procedures and insurances are in line? Oftentimes we have met with people who have had vendors that had no qualifications, no insurance, which is more risk and exposure to the ministry.
I guess another resource that could be underutilized are service of police and sheriff deputies that could be members members of your church.
Yes.
Maybe including them in a task force or a committee to help figure out what the security plan should look like. Would you recommend that?
Yes. Yes. So I definitely recommend you connect with those in your audience that's part of your congregation, because that's one of the things that we do very well at Brown is we utilize those resources. So if someone is a police officer, we don't know all of the ins and outs, but they may come to us and say, hey, here's something that we need to look at. And we will take that and discuss it among us. And if it's a right fit for us, again, the big thing is what works at Brown may not work somewhere else. So it's all about being customizable. So, yes, I absolutely recommend it. If you got someone in law enforcement, take that experience, take that training.
Would it be safe to utilize lay members of your church to be part of a security team that may not have law enforcement background?
Yeah, it's a holistic approach. And so when we think about security team building, every church might not have their law enforcement personnel. So the recommendation is law enforcement personnel, security background, or people that are teachable. So you really want people to have a heart and passion for your ministry, but you can train people that have a heart and passion and skill set to be able to do so. It may be someone retired from military or just someone that's very observant that you can count on to be the eyes and ears. Some of the best security people are not law enforcement people, mm-hmm. but just those that know the culture of the church, knows what stick out and know how to report it and handle it and use verbal cues and language to talk to people.
Yeah, this can be done in a very stealth way. Can we use that term
in a sense
that it doesn't really draw attention?
Right.
But if you can recognize somebody on the campus who's normally not there, their personality might be showing signs of question. These are things you can help teach, mm-hmm. I guess, right?
Yes, yes.
What's the best way, do you think, to vet potential church members to see if they would qualify to be on a church security team?
No, that's always the golden question that we get, and oftentimes we go to churches. One of the things you want to definitely make sure of is the person has a love and loyalty for the ministry.
Yes.
But full background checks are required. Full background checks, making sure that things check out on those individuals. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. How do you build from ground up your mm-hmm. security team mm-hmm. in order to be effective in your ministry? And all churches don't have financial budgets to be able to handle it. But even from a volunteer standpoint, there is a way to properly protect your ministry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so really making sure passion for God, passion for the ministry, and good background check.
Right.
Yes.
And Eric, this doesn't mean that every member of the church security team is going to be armed to have a weapon, right?
That's correct, yeah. So some of, like Pastor Anderson said, some of our best people are just those that meet and greet people at the doors, and they don't have a weapon. But what they do have is that sense of, hey, you know, this is a new person. This person's just don't look right. Let me get somebody to talk to this person. And we empower those folks, you know, to, hey, meet the people where they are. So when they're coming through the doors, talking to them. So if you get somebody to come in and they don't want to speak to you, hey, what's going on? And just, you know, right. It could be somebody having a bad day, or it could be somebody there for ill will. So,
yeah
so not everybody carries guns. You know, it may not fit for your ministry. So having that person, like Pastor Anderson said, you have to start with the heart, because security is a ministry first.
Yes.
And we have to look at that. It's not, oh, we're bad, we're going to throw you out of church, because we want people to come.
Yes.
But we want people to feel safe when they do come.
Right. And you could have members who have carry permits, personal protection. That necessarily wouldn't qualify them to be on the security team just because they carry a weapon.
No, we actually don't allow that.
Yeah, that's going to say somebody needs to be vetted and trained and prepared.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be on your campus with a weapon. You guys need to know about it.
Yeah.
Would you say, Derek?
Yes. Yeah. And to that point, security is and I like to use this word again, a holistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're training, we're telling you, include your leaders, include your ushers, your hospitality, making them part of the team, not necessarily being a security personnel, but they need to understand the cues of what to look for in order to provide the proper alerts. And so, and you definitely want to vet those that are going to carry firearms. And so training is key because everybody can buy a pistol, go to the range and stand at a steel target. But when you're in a crowded environment where multiple people and things break out, you want to have someone that has advanced training on how to utilize a firearm.
Very good point. Well, let's remind our friends listening here on Mid-South Viewpoint today on Bot Radio Network. We're privileged to have Pastor Derek Anderson and also Eric Williams from Brown Baptist Church in South Haven talking about this conference coming up real soon here, Friday, May 17th. And Saturday, May 18th, a panel of security professionals will be there to instruct you. We'll give some details about that. But it's called Protecting the Flock, Church Safety and Security Seminar at Brown Church, 7200 Sweeney Road in South Haven. And so we encourage you, friend, to go to the website to register, which is brownbaptist.org, brownbaptist.org. This is not just a conference for the Brown Church. They're opening this up to the entire community and really churches across the Mid-South who want to participate. A great opportunity to take advantage advantage of the knowledgeable men and women, too, who will be participating at this conference. So you're encouraged to participate. So let me talk about insurance. Does there need to be an adjustment to church insurance policies as a result of having a security team?
Yes. We find that a lot of churches will have armed security and their insurance carrier don't know it. So you have to have those coverages with your insurance company. So, and it's not a secret. You know, there's insurance companies that will write that policy because if something happens, Lord forbid someone has to shoot or someone gets shot, you know, when the police show up, they're going to confiscate weapons and they're going to start asking questions. And then in a court of law, people are going to start asking, well, hey, what type of training did you have? What kind of what's the resources that you have? So, yeah, your insurance company needs to know that on the front end. Yes. And then that way that they write that into the policy. And then as we were doing our insurance renewals this year, they're asking a lot of additional questions simply because of what happened at Pastor Joel Osteen's church. A lot of insurance company wants to know now, like, if you do have armed parishioners, what type of training do they have? What type of background checks have you done? What type of bullets do they carry? So your insurance company needs to be a part of that on the front end and not on the back end. So I highly recommend having that conversation with your insurance company before you need that policy to have them in the boat with you there.
Thanks, Eric, for clarifying that. Myself, having taken a gun safety class, I learned that every bullet that's fired out of the weapon I shoot, I'm responsible
for. You're responsible for, yes,
I'm responsible for those bullets, you know.
Sir.
So there's a lot of responsibility here. Somebody who's just had an 8-hour carry permit class does not qualify. There's a lot more involved. Does the church help supplement? Say you find individuals that have been vetted, they've got a clear background check, and you see them as a good quality candidate for the team. You also see them as a responsible person to carry a weapon. Are you able to help them, like advanced classes or things that they could go to become better at their skills, they could do that?
So it's actually a requirement on our behalf. So if you're authorized to carry on behalf of Brown Missionary Baptist, we use the same qualifications that Pastor Anderson has to use when he's shooting at the Sheriff's Department. So the same number of times you have to hit the target, the same things, the yards and all of that, you have to have the same qualifications as if you are a law enforcement officer, because we want those people to be able to, in the event of an emergency, like you said, every bullet that's fired is your responsibility. So we want you to have that training to where, in the event that you did have to shoot, that you were on target. So we use the same standards. You know, when we go to the range, if you can't shoot, you will have to do it over again. And if you can't pass it, I'm sorry. You can stand on the door for us, but you cannot carry a gun for us. So we've had to make those tough conversations to where you have to. It's bigger than just you carrying a gun. It's about making sure that you're certified to react when something happens. So, yes.
Gosh, what an important word there, brother. Thank you for saying that. So what are some mistakes that churches should avoid when creating their security plan?
One, I think, just making it feel like it's the military, you know, just that you have to have this, everybody in tactical suits and things like that. And if that's not the environment, you definitely want people to know that you have a security presence, but you don't want everybody having to look like, you know, that things are just so guarded, that relaxed feeling of being in worship. And so one of the things is communication. A lot of times the communication is missing in terms of getting everybody on board and properly communicating to the congregation. The other part is isolation, that people do not include the proper people. They need to be part of the conversation. Like you mentioned, your insurance company, you know, and staff and leadership, as well as, you know, you want to include the people that are over your children's ministry in the holistic planning process, the people that handle counting the finances in your planning process, because you want everything from A to Z to be included. That there's a policy for everything that you do. And that's the critical part.
Yes.
It's so important to have all the staff on board, you know. And I've seen that working in our church for our security plan, just how they do things, you know, which helps you feel better about it, knowing that there is a plan in place. Now, we talked about the security plan being shared with insurance companies to make sure we're covered properly and they have all that information. What about local law enforcement offices? Would they need to have a copy or understand what you've done?
I think partnership with law enforcement is critical for any emergency plan. You know, and you have to think about, again, the dynamics of your location. We're in South Haven, so we build that relationship with South Haven, with DeSoto County, to make sure that they understand our facilities, what we're going to do, who's our leaders of security. So even in Memphis, where the call volume is a little higher, one, you want to establish a relationship with the local law enforcement so they can know who you are. You understand your building, have things in place that if something happens, they know who the contact people are. in a plan in place, but without including them and you're having something going on, you're setting yourself for disaster.
Yeah. You guys have a wonderful panel that will be coming. Michael Mann, I know, is one on that list. He's been on this show in the past. We've talked about church security. He is an expert professional. He's one of many that you guys are bringing. Let's break down again. The Protecting the Flock Church Safety and Security Seminar at Brown takes place Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. What's it going to look like?
We're going to spread it out because we do know people have to work on Friday. So we'll start at the top with Stephen Williford. They call him the Barefoot Defender. He was in Sutherland Springs when the shooting started. He was in his front yard barefoot. He saw the shooter shooting the church. He ran back in and grabbed his weapon, still barefoot, and engaged the active shooter. He's going to come share on Friday some of the mistakes that were made. And openly, the pastor, Frank and Sherry, you know, I've met them before at a conference. They shared that their security plan didn't work that day because everyone that was authorized to carry a gun that particular day was out of church. So he's going to share some things that he went through from the shooting and then the after fact of he is now a hero, but he was treated because our system, they took his gun, they put him in handcuffs, they put him in the back of a car, they interviewed him. They did all these things to him, and later they started congratulating him because he saved so many people. So we're going to walk through that. Michael Mann will be there. Like I said, Michael Mann is a security expert. We've went to his church in Brentwood. He's been to our church here in South Haven. He was a speaker last year. He's going to teach you some of those foundation things of just protection. How do you handle people that are being difficult? What's some of the behavior things that you should look for when people are walking into the church? We have Simon Osmoff. He is a renowned leader in the church security. I think he's written 3 or 4 books, and he's going to be talking about just, how do you start a security program? Just from the inception down to the creating it. We're going to have some locals. We have Ed Stanton. He knows everyone. Ed Stanton here from Memphis. We've got former director Tony Armstrong. Last year, the two of them kind of tag-teamed a event to where they kind of talked through how you have to mandatorily report things that happen at your church and when you fail to do those things. So they're going to talk about that. And then we're going to have also Carl Chen. He worked for Focus on the Family out in Colorado, and he was actually held hostage in a church shooting. The guy's a statistician, so he can tell you every church incident as to what happened, and then he goes out and researches what are the lessons learned. So yes, together, that's going to be a very good panel to where if you walk away from that without something, then we've all failed.
You guys have an incredible lineup of speakers. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. Now, it's a 2-day event. How much does it cost? And also, there's a discount, I believe, if you bring 4 or more together from your church.
So $69.99 if you attend both days. And like I said, we do understand some people have to only attend one day. So Friday or Saturday, we get a discount of $44.99. If you bring a group of 4 or more, we will also discount that down to $49.99. You do get lunch on Friday. Now, if you attend on Saturday, unfortunately, lunch is only on Friday, but it's a 2-day event. Some people can come both days. For those that can't, we designed the agenda to where you can get something for both days.
Yes. Who do you suggest attend this conference?
I would say pastors, church leaders, staff members, hospitality groups that are part of ministries, nonprofit leaders, anyone that has any leadership role in a ministry should be there. And as well, of course, security teams and security directors, but those that can help guide the force to help make the decisions to plan for security for your church. And it's even good for some congregants to be there so that you can understand, and that person may be the driving force because of concern. Because unfortunately, in spite of all this going on, there are still some ministries that are saying, no, we don't need this. Mm-hmm. And yet I think God is holding us responsible to be watchmen, but also to be prayerful. And so we have to balance that. So we're trying to create an urgency because it's happening more and more. The Department of Homeland Security has sent out an alert this year that attacks against churches are on the increase.
Yes.
It's a heartbeat for us, a passion that churches are armed, not necessarily with guns, which I feel is important, but armed with the tools to be able to be successful to keep your congregants safe.
Yes. Well, and the crimes we see in Memphis, we talk about car break-ins. Many churches during their Sunday morning worship are coming out. Members are finding their windows broken into and things stolen out of their automobiles. Yeah. So, it's an issue in many ways that needs to be addressed. So how does someone register?
BrownBaptist.org. Click on the link for the security conference. You can always call the church at 662-342-6407, 662-342-6407. 206-407.
Now, someone listening who's not able to attend, but they really need help in a security plan for their church, after the conference, are you guys available for consultation?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We do it all the time.
All the time.
It's a passion literally for us,
yes,
because we've seen the good, bad, and ugly. And so we want to help people stay on the good side. We can't stop things from happening, but we can be better prepared to help navigate. And like you mentioned, the after effect, that's one of the things that most people don't even think about. You know, you have everybody in place to take action, but what happens when all of the news stations are calling and people are panicking and don't want to come to church anymore?
Yes.
And the questions are, you know, the after action reports and things like that. So
right, yeah.
A to Z, holistic approach.
Right. Okay. Yes. Derek Anderson and Eric Williams today on Mid-South Viewpoint here on Bot Radio Network as we discuss Protecting the Flock Church Safety and Security Seminar at Brown Baptist Church. Again, it's going to be May 17th, Friday, and Saturday, May 18th. Church located 7200 Sweeney Road in South Haven. Please register. Go to brownbaptist.org. Gentlemen, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint here on Bot Radio Network. I'm Byron Tyler, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
If you would like to listen to today's show again, go to botradionetwork.com and look for Mid-South Viewpoint under the broadcast tab. The show is also available on your favorite podcast platforms. Some shows have video of the interviews as well and can be viewed at Byron Tyler Radio on YouTube or on our Bot Radio Network mobile app.